All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, if you would. Man, nothing like learning a new song, okay? We'll have to sing that one more often, so you get it down, and you'll be able to sing it, just hum right along, and it'll go, right? This morning in Acts chapter 2, if you would, I'm going to be honest with you, going to read a longer portion of Scripture than I normally do, and then most of the message is going to be the introduction. Going to have a long introduction and just a very short, message there. So don't get lost anywhere in there, okay? You're just going to have to pay attention on purpose the whole time, and you'll see it as we get there, all right? Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and not hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter saith unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. We're going to leave off reading there. This is events. We began last Sunday, as I preached to you, out of the first 13 verses of this chapter. This was the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost that's recorded here in our text was one of the most unusual days in the history of Israel. By the way, their history contained several unusual days. And they're recorded for us in the Word of God. I remind you of that day when God parted the Red Sea for them. They were backed up there. The Egyptian army was about to overtake them. And God had Moses hold the rod over that sea and the waters were parted. They went over on dry land. And if you're familiar with that account, when the Egyptians followed, they were drowned. What a wonderful day that was. But then there was a day that's recorded in Joshua chapter 10. When Joshua and his army were fighting the host of Gibeon, and the Lord allowed Joshua to command the sun to stand still. And what we know today is Joshua's long day occurred. Now, science says couldn't happen, but who cares what science says, all right? We believe the Bible. What a tremendous day that was in the history of the people. Then there was the day when Esther went before King Ahasuerus and pled with him for her people to be spared. They could have all been destroyed. What another great, great day. Hey, now that's not all the great days in the history of the Israel, and the nation of Israel, just a few of them. And you might say, well, preacher, those days compared to this day, they're not the same. But I submit to you, this was just as great a day. You say, how do you see that? Well, the other days that we talked about were great in relation to the physical survival of the people. But I'm going to tell you something. This day, the day of Pentecost that's recorded in Acts 2, was great in relationship to the spiritual survival of those people. And we live in a day where it's easy to overlook the importance of spiritual things. We get focused on physical things. We get focused on the physical aspects, and we sort of just gloss over the spiritual. But I want to point out to you, man, it's that spiritual that is so important. And on that day of Pentecost, we found two questions that were asked. I preached to you on one of them last week. In verse 12, it was, "What meanest this?" The other one is in verse 37, and it's, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The first question dealt with information and understanding. What's going on? We need to understand this. But the second question called for action. Second question was, what are we going to do? Hey, that's a call for action. And I want to look at that question today. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, just once again, I want you to see Peter was preaching. And everything had been preached up to verse 37. And the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts. Why? Because of what Peter had preached to them. Now, let me just give you a quick rundown and rehash and review of what he had preached. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, he said, hey, this Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. A man approved of God. Jesus Christ was plainly presented in Peter's message. That was the focus of his message, all right? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I want to remind you that Jesus was approved of God. He said, why was it necessary to say that? Because the Sadducees, the scribes, the Pharisees didn't approve of Jesus Christ. But God did. But God did. Not the religious leaders. But God did. Now I want to say this. The world today may belittle, begrudge, and even batter Jesus Christ in our day. There's all kinds of arguments. There's all kinds of questions. There's all kinds of doubts that so-called scholars try to throw out there. And if you're on the internet, you'll see that. When I get on the computer and just bring up the internet, it comes to I don't even know how to describe it because I'm so ignorant about all that junk. But anyway, it comes up, and I see oftentimes things questioning the Bible. But I want to remind you, the world may not approve of Jesus Christ, but God does. He did then. He still does today. But then Peter kind of stuck it in them a little more. You look at verse 23. He said that Jesus that was approved of God was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This one, he said, ye have taken. Said, this crowd I'm preaching to, you're the ones, you've taken him, and you wicked hands have taken him and crucified him. You wickedly slew this one that was approved by God. Peter didn't mince any words, all right? He said, you're the ones that rejected him. You're the ones. Now, you're the ones today that are seeing, he said, what's going on that day, and the witness that was out there, and you said, what's going on? What mean is this? He said, what I want to tell you, it's all related to Jesus. Yes. It's all related to him. That one that you rejected, that one that you cried out, crucify him, the one that you said, his blood be on us and our children. Boy, he pointed out. Can I say this to you? Preaching does no good if it's not personal. Does no good. Man, Peter preached it to him, all right? But then he brought it on further in verse 24. He said that same one is the one God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. You look down in verse 32. This same Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Man, he said the resurrection was an accepted, acknowledged fact. Peter didn't debate it, he simply declared it. He said, we're not debating this thing, just declaring. I'll remind you, he said, that same Jesus, the one approved by God, the one you rejected, the one you crucified, God raised him from the dead. Amen. Man, I mean, he's laying it on them, all right? But then look what he said in verse 36. He said, this same Jesus, God, he said, and therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. He said, you mark it down that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, he had been talking about David in there. Now, sometimes we as Gentiles miss it. But David's one of the greatest men in the history of Israel. And Peter was letting them know, hey, David, he was a great man and he prophesied, but he's dead and buried. But he said it's Jesus Christ that God has exalted. It is Jesus Christ that God's made both Lord and Christ. Okay? That same Jesus. All right? God made it plain. So much for that crowd today that doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. There are folks today that profess Christianity that do not believe and deny the deity of Christ. I want to say this to you. Real Bible preaching is always going to point you to Jesus Christ. Real Bible preaching is always going to point you to Christ, okay? It's not going to exalt man. I do not have the answer for your problems, but the Lord does. I can't get you everything that you need, but Jesus Christ can. So I want you to see that. The emphasis was on Jesus Christ. But the second thing I want you to see is what's not there. Nowhere in there was any argument raised against anything Peter said. You with me? No argument was raised. No, nobody got to say, oh, wait a minute now, no. I got to believe there had to be some Pharisees in the crowd. I got to believe there had to be some Sadducees, some scribes, those that had spent 3.5 years fighting the Lord Jesus Christ, denying him, trying to catch him, trying to trip him up some way. There had to be some of them there, but none of them raised up and said, "Wait a minute now, Peter, who do you think you are?" But you look at verse 32, would you? Verse 32, I want you to notice what's there. "This same Jesus hath God raised up." Don't you see this last phrase? "Whereof we all are witnesses." Hey, this crowd didn't argue. They didn't argue about the approval of God. They didn't argue about the responsibility that they shared for the crucifixion of Jesus. They did not argue and say, "He wasn't raised from the dead." He said, "Why not?" They were all witnesses. They were witnesses. They had seen. If they hadn't seen the Lord, they knew somebody that had. And somebody had told them about it. They knew he'd been killed, but they knew he had risen from the dead. He had only been gone just a relatively few days now from the earth, because that word got around too. He ascended back into heaven. But here's our problem today. Folks today would rather argue the facts than accept the witnesses of those that were there. I'd rather fuss with you about it and argue with you about it instead of accepting the fact whereof we all are witnesses. They don't want to do that. Hey, we've got no time, I'll be honest. I have no time for that stuff today that's called scholarship that attacks what's in the Bible. Man, there's too many witnesses, all right? There was no argument. There was no answer for the message except the honest question. What shall we do? What shall we do? The preaching of the Apostle Peter, the Bible said, pricked their heart. Now, remember, there's two groups in chapter 2. There was the group that had been in the upper room. They were the ones that had been praying. They were ones waiting for the Holy Spirit to be given to them as Jesus had instructed them in chapter 1. There was that group. They were the group in the first part of chapter 2 that proclaimed and witnessed about the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Now, they didn't jump a pew. They didn't howl like a dog. They weren't slain in the spirit. They didn't roll around laughing on the floor. No, they got up and boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. God performed an amazing miracle that it was heard in all the languages of all those people that were there. So you had that group, but then you had the group that heard it. What the group that heard it didn't realize, that pricking in their heart was coming from the same place that gift of languages came from. It was from the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, listen, when you sit and hear the preaching of the Word of God, sometimes God pricks your heart. I'll be honest with you, when I hear the preaching of the Word of God, I want the Holy Ghost of God to prick my heart. I want Him to poke me, if you will. I want Him to say, "Are you listening? Do you get the message? Do you hear what's being preached? Do you understand? They're talking to you." Get pricked in our heart, okay? That's us. Then the question becomes, what shall we do? Well, I will fold my arms and shake my head. I'll get mad. I'll turn red. Years ago, we had Brother Bobby Buchanan preaching here. And he was preaching, and he was preaching the truth, and one guy got mad. And the longer Brother Buchanan preached, the redder he got. in the face, the man that was getting mad. Hey, you can do that. But what shall we do? Well, the Lord answered that question in verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. He said, preacher, there's other stuff there, I know, but everything starts with repent. Nothing happens if we don't repent. Nothing changes if we don't repent. That's the answer. The answer then was repent. The answer now to when you get touched by the preaching of God, of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit convicts you, say, what am I going to do? Repent. That's what you need to do. It's time. It's not time to doubt. It's not time to debate. It's not time to dodge it. Well, I'll think about it this afternoon. No! Repent. It's time for action on the part of man. It's time for a change of mind that leads to a change of action. When we start talking about repentance, that's what we're talking about. Repentance. I'll apply it this morning. I told you it's a long introduction. Now here's the message, okay? 2 points, and we'll apply it to two groups. To two groups. For the lost man. For the lost man. Repentance is an absolute necessity. Take your Bible to Luke chapter 13, would you? Luke chapter 13. For that one who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, for that one who's sitting here today, maybe a church member, maybe you've been through the baptistry, maybe you've been sanforized, everything, all those words that you've gone through, all the stuff you can go through, religious activities, all right? But Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said, huh? Okay, look at verse 5. He said it again. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hey, until you come to that point of repentance as a lost man, as a lost individual, lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, headed for an eternity in hell, without God, without hope, say, what do? Repent. Amen. You need a change of mind that'll lead to a change of action. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 that godly sorrow worketh repentance. Now, I would say this. I believe repentance involves a sorrow for your sin. I believe it involves sorrow for your sin. Well, you realize, man, not only am I a sinner, but it's my sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. That was my sin. The one who was perfect took my sin to that tree to pay the price for my salvation. Hey, repentance says, I'm coming to you. I'm turning from what I can do. And I'm realizing there is nothing I can do, but it's all in what you've done. That's repentance that leads to salvation. You realize, I need Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He paid it all. I can't do it, but He did. And I'm trusting Him. Hey, that's that change of mind that'll lead to that change of action that'll cause you to call out upon God and ask Him, Lord, save my soul. Save my soul. It'll cause you at the end of this service when we stand to have the invitation hymn to walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. Maybe I've been trusting what I've done and my works and my deeds, but I realize, Lord, it's you. I need to trust Him. That's what it is. You said, well, preacher, I've done that. I've done that. But yet the preaching of the Word of God still will prick my heart. What do I need? Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, would you? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me, if you will, down in verse 25. You said, here I am. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but man, it's the preaching, it still God just gets all over me. Look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, would you examine those verses? These verses say that they may recover themselves. You see that? That's not salvation. You can't do that yourself. But you can get yourself out of the snare of the devil. You can do that. You said, preacher, how in the world? Repent.
Yeah.
Repent. Repent and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I've disobeyed you. I'm wrong, and I'm repenting of that sin. I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to get involved in that anymore. I'm done with it. Hey, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. You don't need to say, okay, I'll back it down a little bit. I'll quit, you know, shooting up every day, and I'll go to every other day. And I don't believe I'm preaching today to a lot of drug addicts. So let's get where we live. Hey, okay, preacher, Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I'll quit being so unkind to everybody. I'll at least be kind to the people at church. That ain't good enough. That's not good enough. Well, I'll start reading my Bible once a month. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. You see, that true repentance is, I'm going to do it your way. True repentance says, Lord, I'll do it your way. And we're talking about the saved man. You said, all right, preacher, the lost man, he repents, he gets born again, he gets eternal life. Well, what about me when I repent as a saved man? What do I get? Fellowship. You're back in fellowship with the Father. You're back into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. Not only that, you get a clear conscience. You don't go to bed anymore thinking, boy, shouldn't have done what I did. You can sing that song in the songbook that says, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing there. Hey, fellowship, a clear conscience. That's what you get. Hey, what shall we do? Let me ask you this morning. Is the Holy Spirit pricking your heart today? Maybe not from today's message, but maybe it's something from in the past. Maybe it's from the message in Sunday school this morning. Maybe it was last Sunday. Maybe it was this past Wednesday night. Maybe it's 6 months ago. Maybe it's 5 years ago. But God's still dealing with you because you never have repented. You haven't gotten right about it, all right? And conviction is still speaking to you. And you've got that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's going on for days, weeks, months, even years. Don't push it away. Repent. Come to Christ. Come to him today. Listen, if there's any doubt, you come to him for salvation. Don't trust any work you've done. Don't trust any religious activity you've been involved in. Boy, come to him, trust him. Hey, here's a Christian. but there's sin in your life. You know it. God knows it. And if nobody else knows it, that's all that's needed. You need to get right with God and enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. All of it. All of it. See, you don't have to go through life upset, worried. You just don't. You don't have to. But you need to repent. It starts with that repentance. Would you get right with Him today? Would you do it this morning? Would you stand with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? The song leader comes, the musicians come. We're going to sing the invitation hymn this morning. God's invitation's open for you. God's dealing with you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it today? Oh, listen. God's calling to you. You feel the Holy Spirit's urging on that inside man. Will you do what you need to do? Heavenly Father, help us today. Lord, help us to use the invitation time to get right with You. It would